We're seeing population explosion in every kingdom under heaven except the kingdom of heaven. That's a phenomenal thought. Population explosion in every kingdom under heaven except the kingdom of heaven. Thank God some churches are seeing population explosion. Some Christians are. We're in a world where people are talking about population control and birth control, and I'm sad to say I'm afraid too many Christians are sterile today, and too many are practicing somehow birth control. Oh, how we need to reproduce, how we need to be involved in helping every person we can to go to heaven. I want to make this lesson on the promise of success. God never called anybody to be a failure. God never saved anyone to just sit, soak, and sour. God never intended us to come in out here and witness and be a failure. Doesn't mean that every person we witness to is going to be saved. But God called us to success. God expects us to be used. And there are multitudes of Christians who have been cheated. They got robbed with wrong doctrine, wrong philosophies, wrong emphases, because somebody told them, well, we can't all be soul winners. I don't know a more stupid statement, unscriptural statement, than to say we can't all be soul winners. New Testament Christianity is every Christian's to be a witness, and every Christian can be successful. And I want to share with you today, in this lesson, the promise of success, the sureness God really wants to use you and me. I am positive one of the greatest, most phenomenal, most astounding, profound thoughts that has ever crossed my mind is the fact that the God of glory wants to use my life. Now, that's astounding. And the reason I know it is God said he takes the foolish things and he takes the weak things. And I said, bless God, I qualify. And I want to share with you today, I don't care how insignificant you may be, or you say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a deacon, I don't have a college graduate, I don't have a college degree, I'm not a seminary graduate, but you're now in this Home Bible Institute, and this is something I believe God has raised up uniquely to let you get some training that you can be an effective, sharpen your tools to be a more effective witness. But it is true that every Christian is to be a witness, and every Christian can see God use them. Unless you believe that, unless you start out with that premise, you're gonna miss the boat. You're not going to make it. You're not going to see God do all he wants to do through you. So I want to share some thoughts with you, some things that I think can make a difference in you being successful and seeing God really do the things he wants to do through your life. Number one, I want you to notice the verse, Matthew 4:19. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. You don't make yourself. You don't have to work so much at it as you need to be sure. Man, if you're following Jesus, you're going to fish. If you're not fishing, you're not following. It's as simple as that. We ought to be fishers of men. Isn't it a great thing? You remember in Luke 5 when Jesus said to Peter, oh my, what a fantastic statement. After Peter, Jesus had told him to cast his launch his ship out and let the nets down for a draft of fish. And Peter did, and man, the nets were filled, and they had to call them from the other ships to come help them. And Peter came in, man, he was astonished. He fell at Jesus' feet. And then you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, oh, Peter, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Boy, that's fantastic. Man, from henceforth you'll catch men. Man, what a thrill. I've had the joy of getting out fishing, throw that plug out there, man, that fish hit that line, and man, the tug and pull him in. That's exciting. But that's peanuts next to catching men. And God wants to use you. Thou shalt catch men. God wants to use you. Oh, please believe that. Follow me. Man, just get in love with the Lord Jesus. Just follow Jesus, and you'll be a fisher of men. There's a second great promise in this. That's Acts 1:8. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. In the last lesson, we spent the time on being filled with the Holy Spirit, being conscious of the Holy Spirit of God taking possession, control of your life. And if you and I do that, God said, you shall be witnesses unto me. And great things will happen. All through the book of Acts, you read, man, by the hundreds, by the thousands, great multitudes. And we can see it. We can see a lot more than most of us have seen. And I believe we can see multitudes. We can see our nation turn back to God if just the fundamental Bible-believing Christians will get turned on for God. Just let the Spirit of God take over. We can see it. There's a third great promise. John 15:16. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Now, some people want to quibble that that verse means, well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. No, he said, you bring forth, not the Holy Spirit bring forth. You bring forth fruit. What's the fruit of anyone? God talks, the fruit of the womb is his reward. What is the fruit of a Christian? The fruit of anything is to produce after its kind. And God talks in Romans 1. Paul said, I want to come to you at Rome, Romans 1:13, that I might have some fruit among you. And then he talks about preaching the gospel. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Why? He hadn't been there before. He wanted to go and preach the gospel. Why? To get people saved. That's the fruit. And you and I ought to want some fruit. Whatever else the fruit is, it certainly includes seeing people get saved. And God said, I've ordained you. Isn't that great? My, God saved us for it. He ordained us to do it. That's for every Christian. And God wants to use you. And you have a promise of God of success. He said, I've ordained that you bring forth fruit. Don't you let somebody tell you you can't be a soul winner. Don't let somebody tell you you can't be used of God. I'll tell you one thing. It'll lift your Christian life and Christian service out of the ordinary into the most supernatural, exciting, grand thing you've ever known. If you really get involved in doing this and let God use you. The promise of success. There's a fourth promise. Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Don't tell me you can't be a soul winner. He said, doubtless, bringing his sheaves with him. My, that's a promise. That's a great promise. And God said, without a doubt, and God wants to use you. The multitudes of people who are not being used of God is because of a lack of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe God. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The key, I see it in my life, if I let the devil get me discouraged or something and I don't expect anything to happen, sure enough, it doesn't. According to your faith, so be it unto you. If we just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could say the mountain be moved. Well, bless God. If we had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, we could see many people come to Christ. And we need it. My, our churches, we don't need additions. We need multiplications. Our churches go Sunday after Sunday and nobody moved, nobody saved. You look in the average, even the best of the fundamental churches that believe the Bible, and, you know, hundreds in them. Some churches have 1,000 or 2. Why? That 1,000 ought to have each one led at least one person to Christ during the week. Think of it, really. Every Christian. Here's a church, 300 people. Those 300 people born again ought to be able to pray one person into the kingdom of God in a year's time. Every church ought to at least see as many people saved as they got members in a year's time. That seems to be just as simple as can be to me. Yet we don't do it. Why? There are just too many not reproducing. And God said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, God said, he shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God said, you can, without any doubt, you can win them and bring them and see them come to Christ. Here's another, fifth one, another great, great promise. My, this is such a good one. In John chapter 4, Jesus is talking here to the woman at the well. Jesus said in John 4 verse 38, and I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. I sent you to reap. Wow, that's tremendous. He said, I sent you to reap. Not just to sow. Like some people say, well, you know how it is. Some of us sow and some water. Well, it doesn't mean that some, all they do is sow. He said, I sent you to reap. God expects everybody to do some reaping too. Yes, there has to be sowing. There has to be plowing. There has to be planting. But that doesn't mean in no way, it's so unscriptural to have the idea, well, some people, they do the reaping, others do just the planting. That isn't true. That's unscriptural. And we need to know that, I mean, God sent us to reap. Man, what a great thought. The tragedy is what he says in verse 35 of John 4. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they're white already to harvest. Man, they're out here everywhere. Why is it down the street can be a church, they're winning hundreds to Christ, and here's another church right down, they believe the Bible, and they don't see anybody get saved. What's wrong? According to your faith. Well, there's another verse, sixth verse, Galatians 6:9. God said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, that's a truth. That's an axiom. That's a principle for anything in our Christian life. That we will reap. You keep sowing, you will reap. You know what I think God does sometimes? I know he does it in my own personal life. I think sometimes God lets us go for a few days or weeks. God, I almost have a fit. I just can't stand it to go for a week and not see somebody get saved. I really am. I'm just like a caged tiger. I'm just disturbed. I just get groaning inside. If I go for a week and nobody, I don't personally, lead somebody to Christ, I'm disturbed. For you see, God said, I sent you to reap. And every now and then, God will let me go for a week or two. And every time it happens, the Spirit of God brings to my mind, son, I want to find out if you really mean it. If you just keep on being faithful and keep on witnessing, whether you see any results or not, I want to be faithful. And I believe we're to be faithful, and we're going to be rewarded for being faithful. But don't you let somebody say, well, we're just to be faithful. Yes, but we're to reap as well. And if you're faithful, you shall reap. That's what he said. And I think we ought to count on it. There's a seventh verse in this promise of success that perhaps is the key, maybe one of the biggest keys, a profound statement, one of the secrets of success that makes the difference in some people being used a lot and some being used a little. John 12, verse 34, great, great verse. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. My dear friend, probably the greatest key in soul winning and being used of God is coming to a place God said, except that corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. Too many of us are living in pleasures, and God said they are dead while they live. Too many are living for the pleasures of this world. God said, set your affections on things above. Do you remember when Jesus won that woman to himself? That woman at the well got saved, and the disciples came back with the food. And they said, Lord, here are the McDonald's hamburgers. Let's eat. I can just hear them. And he said to them, oh, fellas, I'm not hungry anymore. I lost my appetite. He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to fulfill his work. You know, if you and I get, if we get to feeding on the filet mignon of soul winning, you get to feeding on spiritual things, you lose your appetite for all things of this world. And there are too many people that are just not dead. And the evidence is the old flesh is still just popping up everywhere. You see the old temper breaking out, ugliness in a thousand little ways, loving the things of this world, proud of their nice home, proud of their new car, all excited about their new boat. I get so disturbed. Somebody showed me their big old $100,000 home. I'm not impressed. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with being a millionaire if you don't love money. I've seen people who couldn't write out a check for $10 who love more money more than those who have $1 million. I have a very personal friend, multimillionaire. My, this man doesn't love money a bit. He gives it away like it's going out of style, to God's glory. He doesn't just give it to anybody on the street, but he supports God's work like you wouldn't believe. Thousands of dollars. He doesn't love money. But I've seen others who could hardly write out a check for $10, and they never give generously and gloriously, hilariously. You see, God said, except a grain of wheat fall on the ground and die. And it may be today that one of the reasons God has never used you mightily, we're just still living for the flesh. We're living for today. We're living for time. We're living for things. That tells me that man hadn't died. He's still very much alive. It's in evidence. People ask me, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? I'll tell you, it's just evidence that you've never died. I never met John Cowell. He must have been one of the rarest preachers America's ever seen. He pastored in Decatur, Alabama, the great Central Baptist Church. But oh, I've heard so many stories about that man of God. And there are preachers, dozens of them, all over Florida and Alabama, Georgia, that were saved and called to preach under his ministry. One of my very dearest friends is one of them. But you know, I read the biography of John Cowell, and one day he met a fellow, and somebody said, hey, I hadn't seen him in years. Said, aren't you John Cowell? Aren't you that John Cowell I went to school with? And John Cowell, not with any super pious attitude, but with the genuineness of his soul, he turned to the fellow and said to him, I'm sorry. That John Cowell died. The man looked, sure, he did. Yes, he died. And he named the date, and they named the place. That man died. That John Cowell died back there. But he said, you're looking at the new John Cowell now. He's very much alive in Jesus and living for him. And he had a chance to witness to that man. You know, that's what we need. If we're going to be soul winners, accept a corn of wheat, fall on the ground, and die. Quit living for the things of this world. Don't get your pleasure. Oh, one of the great verses. One of my pets, Psalm 37, verse 4. God said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And let me give you the wimp version of that verse. It really is saying, have a good time in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. I just spent 3 weeks in Hawaii. I got paid. They paid me to come. It didn't cost me. My wife and I and my daughter. We had 3 glorious weeks out there. I ministered out there every day. But my, what a privilege. People say, how do you get all these things? Man, I've directed tours, been over the Holy Land and Europe, Russia. You know, I've had so many privileges. How do you get all of that? Well, I learned one time, if I'll delight myself in God, if I'll just have a good time witnessing, giving out tracts, and talking to people about Jesus, all these other things will be added. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so, here's the secret of success. The promise of success, God said, if it dies, it'll bring forth fruit. And there are too many who still have too much pride. The reason some people won't witness, they won't go out on Thursday night, too proud. The reason they won't get out on a bus route, go to some of those little raggedy, dirty kids, load up a screaming bunch of kids. Man, you ever been on a bus route with 50 of those screaming kids on the way to Sunday school and church? That's exciting. Some won't do it pride. They don't want to be bothered with those little dirty ruffians off the street. And they're missing the blessing of God. My, when you get to glory, I think probably on the front row, when it comes to passing out the rewards, on the front row are going to be the bus workers. I really do. I'll be sitting on the front row. Not going to be the preachers. Going to be the bus captains. Those folks out there knocking on those doors Saturdays, bless God, hallelujah. They're going to be there. Oh, my soul. We got a preacher boy right here in this college. A preacher boy. He was saved on a bus route. Came from a derelict home. And somebody came and knocked on his door and got him to come to Sunday school. He said, man, when I first started going, I was the meanest little old squirming rascal you ever saw. And now he's a preacher boy. Well, God said, if it die, it'll bring forth fruit. God's promise. It will. You know anything amazing? You ever looked at an ear corn? You take one little kernel of corn, plant it in the ground. You know what you get? A thousand kernels back. Any ear has, I don't know how many. Hundreds back. Get 2 or 3 ears of corn. Isn't that a phenomenal thought? And then those get planted, and then you got that many more. What a thrill. Probably the greatest delight. I preached in a church. I walked into Bill Pack's church. When I walked in, a man at the door met me, and he introduced himself, and he grabbed me and hugged me. He was an Indian. He grabbed me and hugged me. Tears came to his eyes. I said, "Oh, I want to meet you." He said, "You're my grandfather." He said, "Did you led Bill to Christ, and Bill led me to Christ." And he said, "I've been waiting to meet you." Isn't that a phenomenal thought? Reproducing through others. Well, man, this minister is so funny. I get so excited, I want to just shout. And my soul. And God promised success to any one of us. Well, I want us to look at now some different ways in which God pictures this business of soul winning and how we can see this success. First of all, God speaks of it as a sower. A sower. We're to sow. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. Jesus talked about the sower who sowed the seed, and some of it fell by the wayside, and some of it fell on stony ground. So we're sowers. We're to be sowers. We sing the old chorus, sowing in the morning. We need to sow. And if we're going to reap a harvest, we've got to sow just a host of seed. Several things about sowing. I want you to see, first of all, there's a sower. There has to be a sower. That seed doesn't just get out there all by itself. It doesn't get out here on the ground, dig its own hole. No, never does. There has to be a sower. We're to be sowers. The old days of sowing, when men carried the seed maybe in a bag. Have you ever seen a sower sowing that wheat, and he had that bag? He reached in there and he scatters that seed. Get on that old hot baking sun. Carrying that seed, it gets back-breaking, but it's worth it. The reason a lot of people never see much of a harvest, they just don't want that back-breaking work of sowing. Sow the seed. We're sowers. Man, we're farmers. Don't ever be ashamed. We sometimes look down at an old dumb farmer. He never finished high school. Man, no sir. That's a great, great privilege. It used to be 25, 30 years ago, all the great preachers of America, I used to hear them so many times, these great men of God would stand in the pulpit and begin to preach, and they'd say, "Well, I was just an old farm boy out on the fields plowing, and God called me to preach." No wonder they made such great preachers. They knew what it was to sow. They knew what it was to work hard. They knew what it was to get with God. They'd get up and down those fields plowing, talking to God. We need that today. We need to be sowing. Then we need to be conscious of the soil. All kinds of soil. We need to be aware of the fact today that as we sow, there's some seed that's full of rocks and stone. You find a lot of people with, man, just all stony hearts. We see some seed that falls and it talks about the cares of the world, thorns and thistles fell among the thorns, and the old deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. We're going to find some as we sow the seed that this is the kind of a heart we're going to find. But you don't quit sowing because some of it falls there. Keep on sowing. Some of it will fall by the wayside. Some of it will just, nothing will come of it. The birds are there, come, snatch it away. Oh, I've seen many a time I've witnessed to somebody, and the old devil, see him a week later, talk to him, and the devil snatched it all out. No, I haven't thought anything about it. I handed a man a tract. 2 weeks later, I ran into him, and I said, "Hey, have you thought much of him?" "Nah," he said, "I didn't have time to think about that." Well, it fell by the wayside, but I didn't quit. A sower never quits because some of it doesn't produce. So we need to be aware of this. Then we need to realize in sowing that sower is going to see success. It doesn't come overnight. A sower knows that he sows the seed and it has to be cultivated, and after a while the harvest comes. Several things about seed. You ever thought about that seed that we sow? That little seed, just so insignificant, but it's powerful. Insignificant, maybe, but it's powerful. The Word of God, why? Multitudes scorn the Bible, scoff at it. They don't think, even Christians, isn't this amazing? Even born-again Christians who've never memorized the first single verse. They never have really sat down and memorized the Word of God. They don't think that much of it. Psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." They never do hide it. And it's insignificant to them. But my, it's powerful. It's powerful to plant that seed, and it comes alive inside them. Something else about that seed. That seed's preceded by life. That seed got produced because there was life that produced. And the Word of God is living, the Bible said. By it's living, it's alive, it's real. And I have to know that the Word of God that's here, it's God's Word. It's breathed out by God. It's living, powerful. Not only it possesses life. That seed has life in it. And God talks about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter 1, 21-22. So the Word of God is, it possesses life. And I can plant that in the heart and the womb of a life of an individual and know the Holy Spirit of God is going to produce this. It has life in it. And then it produces life. Not only is it preceded by life, it not only possesses life, but it produces life. God said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. My mother died 20 years ago. Her mother died a year before that. And unless Jesus comes, one day I'll die. I have their kind of life. But thank God when I got born again, born of the Word of God, I was born with eternal life. That'll never stop. It's not just the length of it. It's the quality, man. It's God's life. I can no more get lost or lose it or it could end and God can end. I was born of God. That's a great, great thought. Well, we're to be sowers. Man, scatter the seed. I said it several times. No farmer digs a hole and pours all the seed in one hole. You want to be a soul winner, scatter the seed. And know some of it's going to fall by the wayside. But don't give up. Don't quit. Let's keep at it. We're sowers. That's one. Then there's a second picture that God gives us about sowers. I mean, about this minister of soul winning. And that is that we're fishers. We're to be fishers of men. Follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. Luke 5, Jesus said that henceforth thou shalt catch men. We're going to be fishers. Well, there's several things about fishing. Real significant. Number one thing, if you're going to go fishing, you're going to catch any fish, you've got to go where the fish are. The old simple Simon with a bucket and he had a line dangling in a bucket of water. No fish in there. I made the statement. The average church today, we're no longer fishers of men, we're keepers of aquariums. And if we're going to go fishing, we've got to go where the fish are. Go out in the highways and hedges. Go out there where they are. Doesn't mean take of what they're doing, not involved in what they're doing. But we need to go there in that restaurant, in that service station, out on the street. One day I was coming from, I made a TV broadcast. I was coming from the TV station. I came up to a traffic light, and I got caught at the red light, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, and that thing must have gone through three lights. You ever been there? And I thought, man, what in the world's happening? That was along this light. And all of a sudden, I turned and looked out over to my right, and there were three teenage boys. There was a park right there, sitting on a brick wall right there. And just like that, the Spirit of God just said, son, I kept that light. Those boys over there, go and witness to them. I got them ready. And I said, all right, Lord, about that time the light turned. I turned the corner, pulled my car, stopped. Got out, walked over to those guys, said, hi, fellas. Here I am, you know, over the hill, old man. Well, I'm not old. I'm 39 and holding. Been holding for about 12 years now. But I stopped, and I know they looked at me like kind of, who's this man? Everybody kids me about my bald head. I don't have a lot of hair up there, but grass doesn't grow on a busy street, you know. And to every man, the Lord is fair. To some he gives brains, to other he gives hair. So I don't worry about my bald head, but here I was, this bald-headed man coming up, these three 14, 15-year-old kids, and he looked up at me kind of with a question, and I said, hi, fellas. And I said, hey, I want to share something with you that I'd like to tell you something that really has done something for me, the greatest thing I ever found. And I began to talk to him about Christ. In the middle of it, one of them turned and walked away. I didn't get disturbed. I finished giving the gospel. And I saw the Holy Spirit turning on the light in their eyes, just one thing after another. And those two boys bowed their heads with me and accepted Christ. I hadn't noticed, but a 12-year-old boy come up, was standing a little to my left shoulder behind me. He'd been listening. And after I got through with these two boys, and it seemed so real, this other boy came up and said, Mister, could I be a Christian too? My soul. That's where they are, out there in that park. Those boys hadn't been in church. I asked them, no, we don't go to Sunday school. They went the next Sunday. We're to get out here where they are. If you're going to go fishing, you've got to go where the fish are. There's something else about fishing. You know, back in these days, they fished with nets more than just lines. They fished with nets, Peter and them. Do you remember in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus tells about that the fishermen were there and it said they were washing their nets? Do you know if we're going to go fishing and we're going to catch a multitude of fish, we're going to have to get our nets clean. Got to get all our rubbish and trash and debris out. You don't catch fish with the net all cluttered up and messed up with trash and dirty. My dad used to make shrimp nets and fish nets and make seines. We've gone seining in the Atlantic Ocean. And when they bring that net in and catch just a whole bunch of fish, they have to get out there then and clean all that trash and rubbish. They always catch some old driftwood would be in there, and a bunch of stuff. They got to get it all out before they go back out again. And if we're going to be fishers of men, we're going to have to get our nets clean. We're going to have to get all the unconfessed sin, get it out, get it clean. God can't use us. We're not going to catch fish. We're going to have to get our net clean. But you know, if you're going to be fishers of men, you're going to have to get out here and let your net down. Just put out the nets. Or if you're going to fish with just a hand line and catch, you're going after one. And there's nothing wrong, man. Sometimes I preach and give an invitation. And man, I've seen when 5, 10, 20 dozen come. But I like to go one-on-one, just go out there with that one line, catch that one fish. You got to put the net out, got to put the bait out, got to put the fish out, get the hook out. And a lot of people never win people to Christ, they just never let the net down. Look out in the deep, try it. Try something different. Go down into a great place, go to the airport. We used to take a bunch of young people, go down to the train station, go down to the bus station, go out to airports. People are sitting around. People, they'll talk. Go someplace where the people are. Go to a park. We used to go to parades and go up and down the parades and people stand all up and down there and just hand out tracts and witness along the way. Man, there are just so many places to go. If we really want to be soul winners, go out to shopping centers. Don't make a big to-do, but just stopping people here and there and sharing with them about Christ. We need to get out here where they are now and just let the net down. Put the fish, put the bait out. But I tell you what else, you got to have some bait, some good bait. It needs to be attractive. You need to get the gospel out. I said this, probably the biggest reason a lot of people never win people to Christ, they don't give out the gospel. That's the bait. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Don't get hung up on, where did Cain get his wife? Are the heathen lost? Don't get hung up on doctrines of eternal security and a lot of other things. No, just tell them how Jesus died. One day a lady asked me if she wanted some scripture verses. She herself was not even a Christian. I was pretty sure she wasn't. She belonged to a church that didn't preach the gospel. She said, Brother, give me some verses that I can make Max go to church. And I quoted her. She didn't know it, but I was just giving her the gospel. This is the truth. So help me. Sitting in our home, so help me. She broke into tears when I gave her 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also has once suffered for sin. She broke into tears, said, oh, Brother Wimp, I never realized that. And God broke that woman's heart, and she bowed her head with me right there to receive Christ as her Savior. Get the gospel out. That's the bait. That's the key. You can try to pull people into Jesus, but unless you put out the bait, the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Christ suffered and died and shed his blood for their sin, you'll never win people to Christ. Get the gospel out. That's the bait. Then there's a... By the way, and then you need to pull the net in, you need to pull the line in. Once you give the gospel out, pull the line, give the invitation. I've had a lot of people. I've had a lot of students say, well, I'm scared that they'll make a false profession. I'm afraid it won't be real. Well, that's not your job. Your job is to give the gospel out and invite them to receive Jesus. It's God's business to make it real in the heart. If we're faithful to the Lord and we're depending on the Holy Spirit, and we've given the gospel, people can get saved. I get real disturbed. I watched a certain television program that a lot of people watch a lot. While we were in Hawaii, I watched it. Man, they talk about excitement. And they talk to people about, man, praising the Lord and getting excited for God. But I'm honest. Now listen carefully. Be discerning, not divisive over it, but be discerning. I listened for day after day after day right there in Honolulu, Hawaii. And I never once heard, not once, one of them give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not once did they say how Jesus suffered and died. You see, it's the gospel that's an offense to people. And it's dangerous. There are a lot of people who have a lot of religion. They talk about praising the Lord and getting excited for God, but they don't put that gospel. See, Paul said, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Man, that's a divisive, that'll divide the sheep from the goat. Need to get that gospel out, and then draw in the net, pull in the line. Give them an invitation to receive Jesus. There's a third figure in which God presents, and that's being an ambassador. God said we're to be an ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5, God said we are ambassadors for Christ. Several things about an ambassador. He's appointed by a sovereign, by the head of a nation. Man, we've been appointed. You haven't chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go. Now then, we are ambassadors for God, as though God did beseech you by us. We beseech you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Man, we're ambassadors for God. We've been appointed, whether you want to admit it or not, we've been appointed by God to be an ambassador for Christ. We're an ambassador. An ambassador is one who is sent abroad from a foreign country. Man, we're in a foreign land. You might as well face it. This old world doesn't love God. Marvel not if the world hates you. Don't ever expect to be at home. I've been over in Russia. I felt so ill at ease over there. You don't know. I didn't speak their language. I didn't know their customs. I didn't dress like they did. I didn't look like they'd looked. Man, different. We ought to be different in this world. People ought to spot us. Man, he's a foreigner. That's right. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. That's got to be. And the reason a lot of Christians don't win many people to Christ, they're not much of an ambassador. Just at home in this old world. They fit right in. Do you ever feel ill at ease? I feel so out of place. I just feel so out of place down here. Get out and people, they won't talk about the dances and the picture show. And they don't talk about Jesus. Tell you something else about an ambassador. He has a direct line. He has a line back to his home nation. You know, we've got a line up to heaven. We got a line to heaven. We got a line right with God. We got to keep in touch. You got to keep in touch with the home base. We need to keep in touch. There's something else that he's got to live with a good report before that. Those he lives where he's an ambassador. They'll ship you home. They won't have anything to do with you. They will listen to you. We got to be of good report to them that are without. We got to live. Our life's got to back up our lips, or we'll never be used of God. There's something else that ambassador has to establish good relations with the people where he is. You know, we need to be of good report. We need to be kind. Christians cannot be holier than thou. We're in the world. We're not of it, but we're in it. And we need to have friends. Somebody preached one time and told us that how we need to get out and reach our unsaved friends. A lady came up indignantly and said, I want you to know I'm a separated Christian. I don't have any unsaved friends. That's a tragedy. Separation is not isolation. And if we're going to be a witness for Christ, if we're going to be a good ambassador, we need to establish good relations. Man, I got a lot of unsaved friends. I went across the street last night. My neighbor across the street, he's my friend. I went over there and just stood in his yard and we talked a little bit. I witnessed to him. I planted the seed. I'm cultivating that man. I went over there to talk to him and ask him some advice about I got some flowers and something's wrong, the leaves are turning brown, and I asked him some advice. I'm establishing good relations, and I've been planting the seed and watering a little bit. We're not going to be much if we're not going to be. Then that ambassador, he has to represent the king, the head of the country from which he comes. We got to represent Jesus. Just talk about him. Tell everybody how wonderful our country is. How wonderful our king is. That's the way that ambassador is. We're out to go and establish good relations between that person, get them reconciled to our Heavenly Father. Well, we're to be ambassadors. Then there's one other. We're to be witnesses. We're to be witnesses. You know, God says, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Several things about a witness. A witness has to have credibility. That lawyer get up there and try to discredit him. God says that Satan's the accuser of the brethren. He'll try to discredit and he'll try to drag our testimony down. That's why it's a dangerous thing to compromise. And people say, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that? Well, you can't. Your testimony gets ruined. I had a preacher friend. A man was dying in the hospital. And several people had tried to witness to him. Nobody could. Joe went into the hospital to witness to this man. The man said, come here. He said, preacher, yeah, I know you want to talk to me about God, don't you? He said, yes. He said, come here. He said, I want you to blow your breath in my faith. Joe said, I don't want to breathe. He said, blow your breath. And he did. He said, you don't smoke, do you? He said, no. He said, don't drink, do you? He said, I'll let you talk to me then. Man, that was a startling thing. We got to be credible. Our life's got to back it up. Then a witness, he isn't good until he speaks. He knew all about it. A witness isn't a witness with just his life. His life has to back it up, but he is a witness when he tells what he knows, what he's seen. Then he's got to tell what he knows personally. He can't say, well, I heard so-and-so. And he's got to know. You have to be sure you're saved and you know God and you walk with him and you know what to say. And then you know what he's got to do? He's got to tell what happened. You're going to be a witness? We got to tell what happened. We're a witness of the Lord Jesus, of his death, burial, resurrection. We got to be a good witness of what happened. We got to let people know what happened. You want to be a soul winner? I hope these things have helped you. All of it together. And if I were to sum it all up, you know what it takes to be a witness? You know what it takes to be to win people to Christ? Just be for real. Just be for real. Don't be a phony. Don't be a put on. Don't you hate a sham? Don't you hate a phony? Make-believe, pretense, hypocrite. Be for real. Then get in love with people. Just love people. People are hurting everywhere. Everybody's got problems. And people are hungry to find somebody who's genuinely interested in them. And then just tell them about Jesus. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Tell him about the Savior, how he loved him, how he died for him. Don't jump on him about this and that and their wicked life. Tell him about the Savior. And when they see the Savior, they'll be broken and they'll fall at his feet too. Hey, let's go and win somebody today. The fish are biting. Let's go fishing. The fish are biting. Get your line, get your bait. Let's get out and tell people about the Savior. God bless you as you do it today.